Have you ever thought of exploring your history to find out your origin, the reason why and how you came to be the person that you are today? Have you ever heard of the saying, you have to go backwards in life in order to go forward? Well, this is exactly what I done. After thoroughly reading my Bible, I wanted to find out the history of the cross. So I Googled it, and to my shock, this is some of what I found. The same sign of the cross that Rome now worships was used in the Babylonian mysteries, was applied by paganism to the same magic purposes, was honored with the same honors, that which is now called the Christian cross, was originally no Christian emblem at all, but was the mystic tool of the Chaldean Egyptians, the true original form of the letter T, the initial of the name Tammuz, which in Hebrew radically the same as ancient Chaldee, as found on coins, was formed as number one of the accompanying woodka, and in Etrurian and Coptic as in number twos and three. That mystic Tor was marked in baptism on the foreheads of those initiated in the mysteries, and was used in every various way as a most sacred symbol. There is hardly a pagan tribe where the cross has not been found. The cross was worshipped by the pagan Celts long before the incarnation and death of Christ. It was worshipped in Mexico long before the Catholic missionaries set foot there. This pagan symbol seems first to have crept into the Christian church in Egypt and generally into Africa. About the middle of the 3rd century shows how much by that time the Church of Carthage was infected with this symbol. Then I Googled the history of the Trinity. This is some of what I found. The Church of the First 3 Centuries, 1865, Alvin Lamson. The modern doctrine of the Trinity is not found in any document or relic belonging to the Church of the First 3 Centuries. So far as many remains or any record of them are preserved, coming down from early times, as regards to doctrine, a complete blank. They testify so far as they testify at all to the supremacy of the Father, the only true God, and to the inferior and derived nature of the Son. During the first 3 centuries, Christians did not believe that Jesus Christ was co-equal and co-eternal with God, or that he was God the Son. They believed that Jesus Christ was subordinate to God, and that he had a beginning, and that he was born. Those that believed otherwise were the exception. Encyclopedia Britannica, 1968. The Council of Nicaea met on May 20th, 325 AD. Constantine himself, presiding, actively guided the discussion and personally proposed the crucial formula expression, the relation of Christ to God in the creed issued by the Council, of one substance with the Father, overawed by the emperor, the bishops, with two exceptions only, signed the creed, many of them against their inclination. Constantine regarded the decision of Nicaea as divinely inspired. As long as he lived, no one dared to challenge the creed of Nicaea. Forgers of the Word, 1983, Victor Paul Wirbel. The truth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was deliberately forged into the doctrine of God the Son. Seeds of Jesus Christ were planted and sprouted during the lifetime of Paul, continued growing during Timothy's lifetime, and flourished shortly thereafter, reaching full bloom for all future creeds in 325 AD. The doctrine that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was God the Son, was decreed by worldly and ecclesiastical powers. Men were forced to accept it at the point of the sword, or else. Thus the error of the Trinity was propounded to the end that ultimately people believed it to be the truth. Having come to this conclusion that people were killed for not accepting the Trinity, I decided to Google the history of the popes, and by chance stumbled across the list of murdered popes. So I tried to match the time of the introduction of the Bible and Trinity, and tried to trace the first 1,000 years as a rough figure of popes that had reigned. Here is what I came up with. St. Peter, 64 to 67 AD. traditionally martyred by crucifixion. Saint Anelectus, 88, not mentioned. Saint Sixtus, 125, traditionally martyred. Saint Ignatius, 142, traditionally martyred. Saint Pius, 155, by sword. Saint Anictus, 166, traditionally martyred. Saint Sota, 175, traditionally martyred. Saint Eleutherus, 189, traditionally martyred. Saint Calixtus, Saint Fabian, Saint Cornelius, Saint Stephen, Saint Sixtus, all to 258 were martyred. Stephen, 6, 896 to 897, was strangled. Stephen, 8, 939 to 942, mutilated. John, 12, 955 to 964, presumed murdered. Benedict, 11, 973 to 974, strangled. Gregory, 5, 996 to 999, was poisoned. Then I decided to Google how many Christian denominations there was in our world today. And to add to my shock that already existed, the answer was only around 41,000 denominations. Having got to here, I decided to Google when was the Bible put together and produced in the form that we know it today. There were many answers, but the Bible was put together and produced around 350 AD. Then many questions began to circulate in my mind. All of a sudden, I got an adrenaline rush, and I began to become anxious, for deep down my heart was burning and yearning for the truth. What did the early Christians believe? Did they have a gospel prior to the one we have today? 350 or so years is a long time to go without the Bible, especially the New Testament. Why did the Bible that we know today take so long to appear? My brothers and sisters, I want you to come along with me on this journey. Grab your Bibles, which you have been brought up with, and follow me step by step, as I have nothing to hide, but I have truth to reveal. One day I was proofreading again the New Testament, and I got to the last chapter in the Gospel of John, and the clue fell out of the sky and hit me in the head. In John 21, verses 20 to 24, Jesus and the beloved disciple. Peter turned and saw, following them was the disciple whom Jesus loved, whom had lain close to his breast at the supper, and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain till I come, what is it that to you? Follow me." The saying spread abroad among the brethren that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, "But if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who is bearing witness to these things, and who has written these things, and we know his testimony is true. Note here, brothers and sisters, it is clear that Peter is not the beloved disciple of Jesus, but rather some other apostle whose name is deliberately left out by the corrupt scribes. Clearly, we can hint a bit of jealousy on behalf of Peter through the dialogue with blessed Jesus. Acts 1, 21 to 22. "So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out amongst us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us." The clues were becoming warmer and warmer. Upon further investigation, I was able to finally put a name to the mysterious beloved disciple of Jesus, and his clear name did not appear till Acts 11:22. "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great numbers that believed turned to the Lord. News of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he was exhorted to them to all remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a large company was added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, as we know as Paul. And when he had found him, he brought him back to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a large company of people. And in Antioch, the disciples were, for the first time, called Christians. Here, my brothers and sisters, it is clear that Barnabas is the beloved disciple of Jesus, and he is the rock of the church. It was now clear that the name of the mysterious disciple was Barnabas. And to further prove the point, I was made aware by a close friend of mine that indeed there did exist a book called the Gospel of Barnabas. Well, I had a big smile on my face, but the biggest smile came when I obtained a copy of the Gospel some weeks later. And upon commencing the very first sentence of the Gospel, it surprisingly read, "True Gospel of Jesus, called Christ, a new prophet sent by God to the world, according to the description of Barnabas, his apostle." I will return to the Gospel of Barnabas towards the end of the presentation, once I have shown you, beyond reasonable doubt, the evidence inside my own Catholic Bible. Peter 2, letter 1, verses 20 to 21. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by impulse of man, but man moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Clearly here Peter is saying that no one has the right to interpret the Gospel, including the Church, to suit themselves. Time and time I have been told by the clergy and their followers that only the Church can do this. However, you will come to know by the end of this presentation that the Church does not even follow Peter, let alone Blessed Jesus, but rather Paul, who was the first foundation of the false Christianity that we have been born into, along with the previous generations. For it was Paul that brought in Christian theology as we know it today, and definitely not any of the other disciples. Thus we had the strong rift between Barnabas and Paul in Acts 15, 36 to 39, where they both separated and went their own ways. It is worth noting that on the interior, the church followed Paul, who was clearly not one of the 12 disciples, but on the exterior claimed to follow Peter. Thus we have the Vatican as a front. But my brothers and sisters, as this presentation unfolds, so too will your eyes open up to the scary truth which I will now commence to bring to the surface, for all to see and hear, so that you can judge for yourselves. Timothy 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Brothers and sisters, as God is my witness, I am presenting to you the words